Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
So, there's a war on sustainable striped bass harvest? Sure seems that way. Quoting Jim Hutchinson Jr. from his editor's log in the August issue of the Fisherman magazine, this is regarding the reduction in the striped bass length limit from, down to 28 to 31-inch fish. Seems some organizations want it catch and release only for stripers. You had a charter guys feathering their own nests. They, you know, couldn't care about you, want to take a fish home to eat. No, no, no. It has to be catch and release only. I've been telling you this, people, for years. Organizations like that, like some of these fly fishing groups, catch and release only. We want special regulation, catch and release only. There is mortality to catch and release, by the way. That's all factored in. And Hutch mentions the American Saltwater Guides Association that said of the regulation, the change, we've won the battle but not the war. Hence Hutch's follow-up. Check out his editor's log. It's called Sea to Table, page 3 in the local section of the August issue of the Fisherman magazine. Hey, fishing's been pretty damn good out there. Tuna's been, as I remember it back in the 80s, they're here, they're there, they're not here, they're there. You have to search, find them out. That, again, people, I'm telling you, I'll never see it again in my lifetime. That triple Rex bite a few years ago, and the following year, the triple Rex and the Atlantic Princess. That was a phenomenon, but there's still plenty of activity in the bay, still a lot of keeper fluke in the backwater, so they are moving out, but still some opportunities out there. Blowfish are around, snapper blues are around, they're starting. You got the croakers are coming back. We just have weakfish and stripers in the back. That's more of a just before first light, the sun gets halfway up, and then they're gone, and then towards evening and tonight. Hey, we have a really jammed show coming up. Is Ernie Utch III. From Utch's Marina in Lower Township in Cape May, we're talking the Peninsula County, lower part of the state. We also have John Erndl, UBNJ, coming, a big, big two-day bow hunting 3D jamboree. Going to be at the Assinpink Wildlife Management Area August 12th and 13th. Don't forget, man, only 42 days left, early opening bow season, 28 DMZs. However, don't forget, September 1st. Railbirds and my mud hen season opens, and September Canada Goose special season. Grab that cup, grab that red. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio with Ernie Utch III. A lot of fun in the Cape. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Are they ready? Are you ready? Giving your child their first phone is an important and often difficult decision. After all, it is a milestone in your child's development. The Phone Ready Quiz from the American Academy of Pediatrics can help make this decision easier. Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz to take a short questionnaire developed by pediatricians that'll help you decide if you and your child are ready, almost ready, or not yet ready for their first phone. And get tips about how your child can develop a healthy relationship with technology. So, are they ready, almost ready, or not yet ready? What about you? Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz today. Just 10 short questions can help you find out. That's healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you as a police officer that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the 5 things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
My dad, he's a double amputee, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. To me, a hero is someone who fights for our country and freedom.
My dad is a hero.
Most of our troops built this house, and it's basically made for him. My dad can get through the wide doorways.
When he is making our lunch, he can reach anything we need.
He'll help me build tiny projects.
Life is good here.
Without Homes for Our Troops, we'd be living in a home that didn't have all these features that helped him.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives.
If they get a new house like this one, it'll help them, like, do normal life.
My dad's not just a hero, he's my hero.
Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
I'm a doctor, but I can't think clearly anymore, so I can't do my job.
Long COVID causes debilitating cognitive issues.
I'm a runner, but now I can't walk 100 feet without getting exhausted.
Long COVID causes crippling fatigue that may last a lifetime.
I've lost friendships because of long COVID. I just don't feel well enough to see people.
People may look outwardly healthy, but they're suffering from a physical disorder that can upend lives.
Everything hurts. I can't even go out and play.
Up to 30% of COVID patients develop long COVID. And right now, there's no cure and little understanding.
I can't focus. I can't think straight. I can't keep a job.
So for those suffering daily, there's just one urgent question.
How long?
How long? How long?
How long?
Until we solve long COVID. The Solve Long COVID initiative is bringing together patients, researchers, doctors, and drug developers to find answers now. To learn more and see how you can help, go to solvelongcovid.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
When I moved down to South Jersey, I guess it was 89. Shout out to Dick Whittier. Thanks for hiring me down there in Ocean City. Well, even before that, I was always, just from knowing this great guy from many, many years, Lou Rodia, outdoor scribe from Cape May Courthouse, 6 North Main Street, by the way, right across from the courthouse. I became enamored with what I call the Peninsula County, Cape May. As soon as you cross, get into Ocean City or over the bridge there, over the Great Egg Harbor, Bay River, whatever, and go into the west, northern Cape May, all the way down to the tip, to the cement ship, west Cape May. Absolutely gorgeous place. Okay, the summers get a little crazy. We realize that, but there and maybe Sussex, all the way at the top of the state. Tom P is of two extremes, far north, far south, everything in between, except for maybe Hudson County. You didn't talk about that. But I love the Garden State, every part of it. But those two areas in particular, and just a mainstay in Cape May County. I came to know this family over the years from captains who have their charter boats in there. And also talking to Lewin, Cape May County used to be one huge party boat fleet and charter boat fleet. It's the Utch family, Utch's Marina, right there, right on Route 109. Massive marina, 300 slips. I stopped in the other day. I just love the. I was there to see Captain Bobby Cope, but he was already out on the water. Met up with Ernie Utch the Third, and his brother Charles, and we sat and chewed the fat there for a while outside. I just said, Ernie, let's talk Cape May. Let's talk what you and Charles have seen when you start back in 1951 when the dad started to the changes now. Ernie, thanks for joining us and making the time. I'm fascinated with the Cape, and I'm really fascinated that your business has been around successfully and grown so long over the years. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
Ernie, it was great to get down there and just sit there by waterside and talk. And I looked around. I said, man, 300 slips. You look like you're filled up to capacity. Is that the deal?
That is the deal. Filled right up, right to the top.
And Ernie, again, from way back when, your folks, just listeners, to add a little ligature here to the story, I think there was the family came from where? Philadelphia, Ernie? Is that correct?
Yeah, we came from Philadelphia. My grandfather had a candy business there that he started in the recession, the Great Depression. And he liked his fishing, so we ended up in two places. The summer times, we were down here in Cape May, and in the winter times, Grandpa and Dad were up in the city making candy.
Uh-huh. And Ernie, that candy building's still around us, and now you show me photos. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, we left the city in the late 50s and came down here, and my family turned the candy business over to my Uncle Charlie, and he moved it into New Jersey, up in Oakland, New Jersey. And then he closed it in the summer times, and then he still came back to work for us all the time in the summers here in the marinas. It was growing.
Ernie, now the marina started, I mean, small, I assume, but what made your dad focus on, and your granddad, whatever, focus on Cape May? I mean, the Jersey Shore is 130-something miles long. You have great other fishing places. The Cape, what was it about Cape May that drew you there?
Two things, fishing and affordable property, because the development at that time had really stopped around Stone Harbor, so you could buy very reasonable property anywhere south of Stone Harbor. And Grandpa had been fishing here since his young days. He used to take a train down called the Fisherman Special.
Whoa!
yeah,
no kidding.
It was full of fishermen, and he had a party boat built in a place called Pharaoh's Marina, which is now Cape May Marina in Cape May City, 45-foot party boat. And then during the war, when my dad was in the service, he had a house built down here. And the whole upstairs, they probably had 15, 16 cots. And for $1 or $2, I'm not sure which it was, you got a place to sleep overnight. My grandmom would make you a sandwich and put an apple in a bag. So you got a flop and you got a sandwich where you could go fishing.
Wow.
Cape May was a fishing town.
I would, oh boy. To have lived at that time. Well, Ernie, which floored me, and Lou told me this, but I said, no, that's, I can't believe that, because, you know, you always hear a Brielle, whatever, a Belmar. But you guys used to have that marina, you dozens upon dozens of party boats, is that correct?
Yeah, after they got the party boat, Dad and Grandpa decided they wanted to have their own place. So they bought a little piece of property off of one of the local families here, a family by the name of Dickinson. And as they were starting to build a place for Grandpa's party boat, then a couple of the guys that had boats said, you know, if you put another place over there, I'll come over and I'll be with you. I'd rather be with you than I would where I am now. And that's really how it got started.
Wow. Well, Ernie, we're speaking with Ernie Utch III there, Utch's Marina, fascinating place in the beautiful county of Cape May, what I call the Peninsula County. Fishing opportunities abound, salt and fresh, by the way. But, Ernie, was the growth of the marina incremental? Did you guys just buy a huge swath of land and then work on it? How did that progress?
You bought a little piece of land, you made a little bit of money, and then you bought a little piece of land next to the one that you already owned. And land was plentiful down here then. It was nothing like you see now. So you could actually do that. So we incrementally built this place one little parcel at a time until it is today what you saw the other day when you and I were sitting here talking. So we started with maybe just a couple acres. I'll tell you now, we got about 14 acres here on Cape May Harbor.
Wow. Listen, it is very impressive to go see. They also have a fully stocked tackle shop. Ernie, all the amenities. But let's backtrack a little bit. Ernie, the growing pains, was it like today with all this regulation, you can't do this, you can't do that? When did you see that start happening? We're sort of trying to put the screws to any kind of growth.
In the mid-1970s.
Okay.
It started in real sincere earnest when they created a DEP in New Jersey, and then a significant thing happened. The state of New Jersey got money from the federal government to take care of the dredging responsibilities and relieve the Army Corps of a lot of their responsibilities. The southern states, in difference to that, They said, you guys are doing a good job. You keep doing it. We don't want your money. And the outcome of all of that is our inland waterway is a disaster. And
right.
You can't navigate from Cape May to Atlantic City to go to the inland waterway in bad weather because it's too shallow.
Right.
And because they've done away with the drawbridges and they've put low-level bridges as low as 35 feet. So that means all sail traffic can't go that way. So you have two obstacles. So now you have to go out in the ocean. And that meant all the small places in between here in Atlantic City that used to enjoy some of that transient trade, they don't see that anymore because that transient trade doesn't navigate inland from Cape May to Atlantic City.
Ernie, you think that was by design, like with ulterior motive? I mean, I know the fishing industry especially, and we'll get into that in the next segment, people, with Ernie Utch III here, Utch's Marine Iron in Cape May, Route 109. It is a gorgeous facility. Anything and everything you need there. But Ernie, it seems like by design to squeeze the boating and fishing industry to where it's just minimal. What are you saying?
The business here has changed so much. When I was a young boy in my early teens, we had 55 party boats and charter boats next year.
Yeah.
There's not 55 charter boats in the all of the Wildwoods and in the all of Cape May today. And we had that many just in one place. And then my neighbor just down the street, there was another 25 or 30. And behind every house that's on the waterfront on Wilson Drive, there was a party boat that belonged to, like, the Captain Harrington, belonged to the Captain Ted Harrington family, the Cap Emerson,
mm-hmm.
belonged to the Emerson family, and so on and so forth. And all those independent businesses, they all did the same thing as my grandmother and grandfather did with their house down here at the shore. And from that, as the regulations got tighter and tighter, and people enjoyed a better income than regular people. People like you and I bought their own little boat, and the amenities started to show up, and then the ladies became involved.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a transition to marinas. The one industry was fading, but another door opened up, which said, this is going to change to a family business. So today, you might want to liken your marinas to like a floating campground, because on the weekends here, I have enough shower facilities and bath facilities
mm-hmm.
and a laundromat and a lounge here on premise that they come down on Friday night, stay the weekend. And for the price of their berthing, they've got a place down here at the shore for the whole summer.
Yeah. Well, all right, and your brother Charles mentioned this. Some of the rooms in Cape May are $500 to $1,000 a night.
In the city of Cape May, yes.
That is amazing. We're speaking with Ernie Utch III, Utch's Marina, right there, 1121 Route 109 in Scheller's Landing in beautiful county of Cape May, just outside, well, you're within walking distance of the town of Cape May. Ernie, can you hang in for another segment? We're up against a hard break.
Yep, do it.
Okay, people, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Ernie Utch III rules.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Securing America.
The federal government is going to court to try and kill a program by the state of Texas designed to secure the border, the placement of a line of floating buoys in the Rio Grande. But Texas Governor Greg Abbott says even a loss in a lower court won't stop his resolve to keep them in place, saying he will appeal the matter all the way to the Supreme Court. Republican members of Texas's congressional delegation spoke out, Congressman Jody Arrington.
The sovereign states created the federal government, not the other way around.
Arrington adding that the state has no choice but to act.
Article 1, Section 10 states that when a state is actually invaded or their citizens are in imminent danger, that state has a right to defend itself.
Other members of the delegation cited the amount of criminals being captured and fentanyl trafficking as reasons to better secure the border. Gary Baumgart, Fox News.
What's new at Sioka Chevrolet of Atlantic City? In a word, everything. The most exciting lineup on the road is all right here during the Chevy Summer Drive with over 300 new cars, trucks, and SUVs available, like the rugged 2023 Silverado 1500 pickup with 2.7-liter engine. Lease it today for just $375 a month, or come to Sioka and get low 1.9% financing plus no payments for 90 days on our most popular models, like the 2023 Blazer, Equinox, Trailblazer, and more, along with more than 100 pre-owned vehicles in stock and ready to go. Summertime is Chevy time, but hurry. Offers end July 31st, so experience the difference at Sioka Chevrolet on Albany Avenue in Atlantic City and at SiokaAtlanticCity.com. Chevrolet, find new roads. Offers to qualified buyers through GM Financial for 36 months. Lease with $4,500 plus tax, tags, fees, and first month payment due at signing to current lessees of Buick or GMC models. Financing not available in Pennsylvania. Cannot be combined with other offers. See dealer for details.
Okay, team, line's already around the block, and we're open in 10. Yesterday, we had three-hour wait times.
Chef Pierre's staff is a little under-seasoned.
Why is this pot not boiling yet?
An experienced sous chef is the missing ingredient in his kitchen.
What do you mean, plate or a bowl? You work at La Pasta in La Cup.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This week at Macy's, get them ready for the classroom and every play date with savings on back-to-school essentials they need, like 25 to 40% off specials for kids from Levi's, Epic Threads, Nike, and more, or 25 to 50% off JanSport and High Sierra backpacks. And shop Toys R Us for fun toys from Discovery, Play-Doh, and more, 10 to 50% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of July 29th and 30th. Really having a good time with Ernie Utch III. A little bit of history in Cape May. The Peninsula County, the growth, what you've seen, the big sprawling Utch's Marina, 300 slips, every kind of amenity and service you can't imagine there. But what intrigued me most, and sometimes on a bit of a downer note, the changes. It's inevitable, people. I realize that. Everything's in a state of flux. I realize that. But when you see the crush there and what used to be, and yet the Utch's Marina seemed to carve out, like Ernie said, 12, 13, 14 acres there of everything you need to enjoy time on the water away from the craziness. So, Ernie, one of the things I want to ask you is that you notice you said the changes started in the 70s, and we were sitting here, you, me, your brother Charles, and Charles made a point. You made a point. You said, Tompy, it's not so much the business change as much as boating itself has changed. Now, you brought that up at the tail end of the prior segment, Ernie. More families getting involved. So the evolving of the business from basically a hardcore dead center fishing marina to now what you have there is basically a luxury campground on the water. Making that change, Ernie, were there growing pains?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness, yes. You had to start to create a different kind of facilities. If you can imagine the old bathhouses, the bathrooms on the Wildwood Boardwalk, how bad and terrible they were. That's the way they were in the marinas.
Really?
But then when the ladies came down here, that wasn't good enough anymore. The old porta-potty style thing, it just didn't cut it. And they wanted something better. And if you wanted your hunk of the business, your piece of it, you had to build it. So that's what we did. We went and built it. Money was very tight there, of course. There's so many of the things here, we built ourselves. That's how we built the whole place.
Right, anyway, I was just going to ask you the financial end of things. A lot more involved, exponentially greater investment for the luxury type thing you have now as opposed to just a hardcore fishing marina, correct?
That's it.
Competition, Ernie, you are huge. Utch's Marina is huge. Did you see other places that didn't adapt? Basically, I hate to use this term, adapt or die. Did you see that other marinas just folding up their tents, folding up their docks, and going home?
Yeah, a lot of them fell into disrepair. A lot of them on the inland waterways, they ended up starving to death, and they changed to residential. They would take out the marina facility kind of thing. First it started with houses, and then later on it got to be condominiums. But now the state of New Jersey intersects, and they don't want you to take away the boat slips. But it's pretty hard to run a marina if you don't do more than just what the marina is. The thing that keeps us going here and has kept us going here is our ability to change and the diversity of things that we offer here at the marina. If you don't do that, then I don't know if you're going to make it so well. Ernie, it's a family thing.
Right. Again, and the listeners, the German, the pride there, the Utz's family history in making a success. Ernie, you mentioned something happened way back when with the state with eminent domain. Go into that, please.
Well, when they took out the old swing bridge in the Cape May Canal and they closed the drawbridge running into the city of Cape May, they built a huge bridge. And that was in 1960. And when they did that, they took a lot of land away from us, and they also took away the more significant thing, was their highway frontage, our visibility.
Right.
And as a result of that, our business had to change, and it changed rapidly. And there were some tough years here in between. But everybody worked. 1962, if you recall, we had that bad storm. That hurt us bad. We almost
went
out of business.
That's the storm that cut LBI in half, people, if you remember that one. Yeah.
Yep, and my dad took my brother and I out of school. I was 62. I was 15 years old. And he looked at me. He said, "You can't go to school. I have to have you working here." He looked at my brother, and he was 12, and he says, "You can't go to school either. You're pretty good with your hands. I need you two here, and I'll get your homework. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning, you're going to work in the marina." And then we went around in little boats picking up the pieces of our marina floating all around Cape May Harbor.
Wow.
Brought it back in here and started to put it back together, one little board at a time. That's how it worked.
Ernie, so the state just said, "We're taking this property. Sorry, Utz's, you're screwed. That's it." That's how eminent domain works, does it not? No kind of compensation. That's sick.
We got the compensation that they decided that we should have. My grandfather had a heart attack. My dad had to make a decision. If he had fought it in court, my grandfather would have died. So instead, he just swallowed hard, and we did the best we could, and we saved it. That's what we did.
We're speaking with Ernie Utz III, Utz's Marina there in Cape May, 1121 Route 109. Absolutely fascinating place, a fascinating history of that. Again, the Lower Township in Cape May County. You have Upper, you have Middle, and Lower Township. Ernie, I have to ask you this. Is there any more room to grow down there? Are you guys at max capacity? I ever think of another facility, an addition, a satellite Utz's Marina? What do you got?
If they would restore Cape May Harbor to the depths that it enjoyed for a large part of my life before they stopped the maintenance dredging in the harbor, mm-hmm. these marinas could expand out much further. And you could likely see 100% increase in the amount of boat slips that would be in Cape May Harbor, because then the water would stay significantly deep. When Dad first dredged this place, when you dredged the place out, the harbor was so deep you never had to dredge it again.
Right.
Now by change, the harbor is so shallow that when you dig your hole deeper than their hole, their mud comes into your hole.
Oh, Jesus.
So you have to do maintenance dredging all the time. And what have we done? We bought a dredge. This is our second dredge, and we have a dredge site on a dredge disposal area on site. We dredge. We build our own piling rigs here. We do a great part of our own piling work rather than outside contractors, and that's part of the secret of how we keep going.
Bernie, if you don't mind my asking, I mean, is the state like looking at you guys under a microscope doing that kind of work? Because you know the Dems. Oh, need a permit for that. Need a permit for that. Got a permit for that. Got to have an inspector for that. I mean, how does that work? That's got to be a nonstop headache.
It is. It's something that you pay attention to. With my company engineer, which is really the same company my dad started with way back in the 50s, although it's morphed several times, but still the same basic company. They're always working on something. They're working on extending permits right now for me.
Well, Ernie, when I was down there, I noticed, I took a walk around the grounds, the equipment. I saw the dredge. You have a crane, backhoe, bulldozers, two or three forklifts, and you got two big travel lifts. I mean, you can handle everything from skiffs to, I mean, whoa, the big offshore boats.
Yep. Yes. Almost all that equipment is ours personally. That's mm-hmm. all ours.
Now, Ernie, maintenance, your crew there. The grounds are spotless. Everything's clean. It's like a seamless operation, humming, firing on all cylinders. How's that working now with maintenance, getting qualified engineers, mechanics, and everything in there? Because there seems to be a paucity of that up and down the coast from what I hear.
I have not been able to hire a marine mechanic for three seasons, so I've had to give up on almost all engine work because I don't have people who can handle that.
Wow.
The the other stuff within there, the basic fundamental stuff, we're still pretty good with that, but it's hard to get help.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get them and you get them trained, then it's equally hard to keep them.
I hear you. That seems to be a common problem. I'm speaking with Ernie Utch III, yeah. Utch's Marine in Cape May. Ernie, of your 300 slips that are full, can you give us an approximate breakdown? Families, cruisers, fun, like dock and dine type people, as opposed to, again, like Cope and Tommy Daff and I guess he's still there, Captain Steve Bent on Free Spirit, a hardcore fishing group. Is it 50-50 or?
Now I probably have half a dozen, maybe as many as eight charter boats here. In the 1960s, I told you, we had 55 here. In the 1960s, when the weekend would come, Dad had 120 slips. That was considered a lot at the time. 110 boats would go out fishing on Saturday.
Wow.
The 10 boats that didn't go out were all broken. Now I have 300 slips here. And on a weekend, I might have 25 boats to go out fishing. And 275 boats fit in the boat slips. And they don't go out. And if you translate that into something you can put your arms around, I sell 25% of the petroleum product today that I sold at the height of the fishing when things were good. 25%.
Wow. Well, Ernie,
a massive change.
The past few years, has the fishing overall be good from the starts with the drum and stripers in the spring right through the summer with the flounder, the southern canyons? I mean, how's that shaking out?
Well, the flounder fishing's pretty good now, except they're having trouble keeping the size fish that they're allowed. The flounder fishing in particular, they're only allowed to keep three fish.
Right.
But two of the fish have to be between 17 and 18 inches. And I talked to one of our charter guys yesterday. He said, Ernie, we're throwing fish back overboard all day long till we can get one that's between 17 and 18. Because they're only allowed to keep one big fish. They catch him and they got to let him go.
That's it. Okay, Ernie, we're up against the break. We have to wrap it up. We're speaking with Ernie Utch III, Utch's Marina, since 1951. Ernie, it seems to have everything there, all your spotless facility, and you have, within a minute's drive, a couple of minutes walk, a bicycle ride, avail yourself to everything that's happening in Cape May since 51. I mean, you guys keep going strong.
Well, I'll tell you something we added about 3 years ago. I got a little marina chapel out here that we built because one of my oldest and best friends, he does some ministering and he went to seminary. Every Sunday morning now at 8 o'clock, we have a non-denominational Christian service at the little chapel.
Get out! That's a
goodness.
That's a first. I don't think that's anywhere on the Jersey Shore.
Yep. And I can tell you, last Sunday, we had, I don't know, at least 29, 30 or 31 people sitting in that little chapel. 1 hour service. He starts early and he's done early, 8 to 9 o'clock. Reverend Joe Springer.
Reverend Joe, Ernie, because I looked at that building. I said, that looks like, is that a, I don't know. And yeah, that was a chapel. Ernie, growth insofar as Utch is concerned, are you going to see less and less fishermen, you think, and more of the casual, pleasure boater?
I think so, yes. I think that's almost a given.
I remember the last party boat I worked with and fished on the Cape a couple of years ago. He retired, Captain Paul Thompson. Remember Paulie on the Porgy 4?
I think that was one of the last party boats here in Cape May. I think the only one left is the Miss Chris.
Yeah, the Miss Chris. Freddie Scully? Well, Aaron, I have to ask you this, not on a down note, but with the fishing, it's still good, not going away, but taking a back seat now to the pleasure boating and stuff like that. Is it going to be a continuation of adapting to that business, correct?
I believe that, yes.
Service, yes. And everything involved, you got to keep it going, Freddie, because Utch's is a landmark down there.
Thank you.
Okay, Ernie Utch, it was a pleasure. We're seeing you and Charles and your brother Charles. This first time I met him, it was a happenstance. I said, let me stop in Utch's and see if Cope's around, see if this one's around, that one's around. And I walk in, I said, the young lady is Ernie Utch. And I said, that's him right out there with his brother right there sitting by the picnic table. Wow. And Ernie, I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much. It was great meeting you and Charles finally. It was a very pleasant conversation and had a great couple of segments here on Rack and Fin Radio. Greatly appreciate it.
Okay, you have a great day then, Tom.
Ernie, let me ask you this. Do you get a chance to go fishing or boating or anything? Because you're like a whirling dervish down there, man.
At the end of the season, after Labor Day, when it slows down, sometimes I can throw a line off the dock here, and you'd be surprised what you catch. You still can catch a couple things here.
There you go. Ernie, you take – and by the way, Ernie, beautiful, beautiful, well-stocked tackle shop there, bud. And that young fellow was right on key, man. I watched him work. Good crew there, Ernie. Good crew.
And you know he's brand new this year.
Really? I tell you, that young fellow, he knows his stuff, man.
Yep. He's brand new this year. I just hired him in the spring.
Okay, Ernie, you take care. I'll see you up. Hey, I'll be down around the Cape next week. I'm loving it now.
Okay. Well, you find me here 7 days a week, so just come on in.
You got it, Ernie. Hey, lunch sometime. We'll do it.
Okay.
Hey, take care, Ernie. Bye. Yeah, Ernie's just a fascinating guy, and his brother Charles. I mean, some of the stuff they were talking about that, you know, sort of related but not, the changes that came to the Cape, it seemed to be all of a sudden just a bull rush. And it is what it is now. Still very rural in areas, some great wineries down there, still some great inland fishing. And, you know, I'm fascinated, too, with that Delaware Bayside. That's as close to the bio as you can get, especially when you get further up there by Dividing Creek and things. But and that's out of Cape Man, Cumberland County. But the Cape, the Peninsula County, absolutely beautiful. Check it out, Utch's Marina. What a facility! Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio. Ho ho ho! We got a bow hunting jamboree coming up. Whoa! Next segment. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. A mass shooting at a community outreach event in Seattle last night left 5 people injured, 2 critically.
We know that there's dozens and dozens of rounds that were fired. Our gun violence reduction unit is actually investigating this.
Police Chief Andrian Diaz says there may have been 2 shooters. Meantime, in the Chicago area, 5 people also shot last night, 1 died. Nearly all the Republican presidential candidates attended the annual GOP Lincoln Dinner in Iowa last night. The audience booed former Congressman Will Hurd after this comment.
Donald Trump is running to stay out of prison. And if we elect...
The dinner was held one day after a special prosecutor filed more charges against Trump. And no winner in last night's Mega Millions jackpot. Tuesday's jackpot, $1.05 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Mainly clear skies overnight. It'll be very warm and humid. The overnight low 76. Hot and humid Saturday with increasing cloudiness. Couple of afternoon showers and a heavy thunderstorm. The high 97. Saturday night, clouds breaking with a strong thunderstorm. It'll be humid. Flash flooding and localized damaging wind gusts possible. Low 71. Clouds and sun for Sunday. High 85. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
42 days to go. Yeah, opening of the early bow season, September 9th to September 29th. Now, it's going to be open in 28 deer management zones. Let's see, we have, 13 of which are under, I always say this, insipid anthropoint restrictions. Those are going to be zones 9, 13, 27, 28, 29, 31, 35, and 47. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for more information on this. Listen, an antlerless deer has to be taken first, except for the youth. The youngsters don't have to nail an antlerless first, but it is... It's looking pretty good now. We have the heat, but in the next 8-9 days, man, it's temperate. It is going to be gorgeous. What better time to get ready for the early bow season than to get involved in this UBNJ Jamboree? It's going to be running in a couple of weeks. Mark your calendar. August 12th and 13th. It's going to be up there at the Assunpink Wildlife Management Area, the Conservation Center. That's exit 11. I think that's the Imlaystown Road exit off Interstate I-95. Join us on the line right now. Very special guest on Rack and Fin Radio and longtime friend is John Erndl president of the United Bow Hunters of New Jersey, talking his jamboree at Two Dare. Looks like a lot of fun there, Mr. John. How's it going?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Oh, lock, cocked, and ready to rock, man. Ooh, John, 42 days. 42 days, John. John, 42 days. I'm getting too excited. How about you, man? You ready?
I can't wait. This is what we live for.
Well, John, listen, a lot of planning went into this jamboree. Did this take place of another event that you guys usually run?
Yeah, well, we had the jamboree for 20 years, and then we kind of stopped doing it because we had the R100.
Right.
Shoot, and then this year the logistics just couldn't work out to host the R100, so we said we got to do something for the guys, people, and we brought the jamboree back.
John, I remember going to them over the years. It's a great event. You get to shoot, you get to hobnob, talk to some serious target archers, bow hunters especially, and it's a perfect primer for the deer season. Well, John, go into this two-day event. A lot of planning, I assume. It looks like a pretty aggressive itinerary here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a ton of planning went into it because we wanted to make it, you know, special, kind of like the R100. We're going to have vendors. We got big shot targets coming down, Zeus broadheads, United Blood Trackers will be there with their dogs.
Oh,
to
wow.
Talk about, you know, the deer trailing with the dogs. And, we're going to have 30 competition targets, normal set out in a normal setting. And then we're going to have 20 novelty where you might be shooting a turkey out of a blind, a deer out of a two man ladder stand.
Nice.
You know, stuff similar to that. So it's going to be fun for everybody. Saturday, we're having a two-person team shoot where all the 100% of the entry fee is paid back. The top five shooters will go into a shoot-off at the end of the day, and a couple of them will walk away with some money in their pockets.
And, John, Sunday, what's happening Sunday?
Sunday, we're having our championship shoot in seven different categories, open, bow hunter, women's bow hunter, traditional, and a few youth categories. So it's a lot of fun. And also, all weekend long is open to everybody to shoot for fun. So if you don't want to come out and compete, you just want to fling some arrows, walk some beautiful settings in Assapink, come out and do it.
John, that is a gorgeous piece of property administered by Fish and Wildlife. John, now, what's the admission fees? Single day, two-day fees? What's the dealio?
Single day is $20. You can buy a two-day pass for $30. That's for an adult. Kids, it's half price, and then under 10 is free.
Wow. Now, I understand, and this is a lot of fun. Yeah, I tell you, I spoke to some guys that did it. One guy says, Tommy P., I was born 200 years too late. He was totally into the primitive camping thing. Had his possibles bag, his stick bow. It was really something. So you have primitive camping available?
Yes, we do. And what that means is there's no hookups. If you want to come out, throw a tent up and just, you know, spend the night there from Saturday to Sunday, you're more than welcome. Usually the kids run around, you know, meet each other, have fun. Adults sit around and talk. We talk bow hunting and strategy and everything. It's just a nice weekend to talk bow hunting.
Now, John, rain or shine event?
Rain or shine, we got too much invested into this week, those 2 days. So,
yeah, joining us on the Rackerman line this morning is John Arundel, president of United Bowhunters of New Jersey. Topic is August 12th and 13th. Perfect. Is it primer or primer? I don't know. For the upcoming, especially early bow season, it's going to be the UBNJ Jamboree. It's going to be the Assapink Wildlife Management Area, the Wildlife Conservation Center there. It's exit 11 off 195. It's Imlaystown Road, whatever. Very easy to get to. And I might want to remind the listeners, John, bring your fishing tackle because you got some great bass and pickerel fishing and crappie fishing and channel catfishing right on that tract.
Oh, yeah. Within walking distance, you've got two of the major lakes in Assapink, which are loaded with bass and channel cats and pickerel and everything. And then, like, less than a mile away, you have another one of the lakes. And so you got three lakes right in the real close area.
And it's listeners, tremendous fishing in there. I tell you, the rage that I'm seeing now, these inflatable kayaks and now inflatable fishing stand-up paddle boards. So, listen, great opportunity besides the bow hunting. Really, this is a weekend. John, to me, it's a mini fun vacation right off the bat. It's going to be nonstop.
No, absolutely, and it's reasonable. We'll have food there, so you know there's food available, and like I said, we'll have vendors and go out and shoot some arrows. And also, if you have kids that don't have archery equipment, we're going to have our youth bows out there with targets set up so the kids can just come and fling arrows.
That's a great time. And listen, the instructions there, the bow hunting fraternity in particular is passionate, beyond extremely passionate about passing on to the youth or to the novices. People, I mean, even people my age in mid-60s want to get into archery, not necessarily to bow hunting, but the archery, the art of archery. And, John, I'll tell you, guys are doing a wonderful job.
Like I said many times before, everybody can shoot a bow and everybody can have fun shooting a bow.
John, response so far, I know it's a matter of the chatter at a couple of shops I talked in about this, so you're figuring a big turnout.
We're hoping that something similar to the R100 where we had 400 shooters come out.
Whoa. Oh, John, by the way, are there hotel accommodations reasonably close?
There's hotels within 10 minutes out on Route 130 in Bordentown. And there's several campgrounds within 5-10 minutes.
John, putting this all together, I mean, the brainstorming involved, I mean, UBNJ, unfortunately, is, wish we had a lot more people involved, but it's a very tight-knit group, very involved group. Two or three people, four people involved in this, or was it like a committee thing? I'm just fascinated with organizing things like this. I mean, I've organized press conference, breakfast, dinners, and a whole bit, but nothing like this, man.
We had about 10 of our core council members, you know, come together that have done these bigger events in the past, and everybody pitches in.
Mm-hmm. John, the 10 are out there now. Let's switch to the hunting scene again. 42 days, the bow season will be upon us. Will there be an October bear season? Whatever. You never know. It seems that you're waiting for the other shoe to drop here in the Jersey hunting scene. It seems. What are you hearing out there? The antis mounting another assault? What's happening?
I don't know. It's been actually kind of quiet right now.
That's what I'm worried about, Earl. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, you and me both, because you never know. But, you know, we're waiting for the compendium to come out and to see what's actually in it as far as the possibility of an archery bear season added to the firearm bear season. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know. They want to stop deer hunting altogether, pheasant hunting.
Right.
It never stops.
And, John, too, the thing, it's a Trojan horse, the thing with the baiting. You know, the bear conflict is the hunters are leaving all the bait out in the woods, what have you, all this nonsense, and then stopping baiting, and there goes a big part of the deer management program.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, and you know, like when they tried to ban the broadheads back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they try to do end-arounds to get things banned. You know, so you can't use the bait for bears. Well, if a guy's got a corn pile out up in bear territory hunting for deer, well, what happens now?
Right. You know, and it puts the COs in a really tough position as well.
Yeah, it puts everybody in a tough position, you know, and it makes no sense.
John,
you got to live with it.
I know. They're very savvy. They're very very astute in that. They have, you know, legal camp, whatever. But that's why you belong to the United Bowhunters of New Jersey, Federation of Sportsman's Clubs, Jersey Outdoor Alliance, because it's a constant. John, it always seems we're fighting a flanking thing. You know what I mean? Like they're coming
absolutely.
Up on this side, coming up on that side.
They are, and you want to know something? There's a generation now that doesn't know or want to get involved with the outdoor organizations. It's very self-propelled what they do.
Right.
It's about shooting the biggest buck or catching the biggest fish and putting it on, you know, social media and everything. And they don't get involved. The numbers across all the organizations, the Federation of Sportsmen's
right.
Clubs, us, you know, Outdoor Alliance, all of them are dropping. And that's not a good sign for hunting in New Jersey if that keeps up.
And the again, and John, the efforts are being made at recruitment. I mean, the Fish and Wildlife with its R3 program and the UBNJ, we're trying and trying. And it just, it's frustrating when it falls on deaf ears. I don't have time for that. I got my own private property to hunt. I don't care about that. They're never going to stop. That's what I hear a lot, John. That's scary. They're never going to stop hunting. If they didn't stop in the 90s, they didn't stop in 2000, they're never going to stop hunting. Well, you never know that. You can't. Nothing is that definitive because it's a constant battle.
No, it's not. And also, if they stop it, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, admitting to people you're going to be an outlaw.
Right. Hey, John, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's not the way to go about things.
Exactly right. John, your take on the 2022, early 23 deer harvest. Numbers were down. A lot of people attributed to, and justifiably so, depending on the geographic area where you hunt with the EHD, things like that. But the second, third year in a row, a drop in the deer harvest? What's your take?
I think it's a combination of things. I think that EHD in certain areas had a huge impact. Oof, I know the areas that I hunt had a huge die-off because of it. And I think in some areas, the antler restrictions coupled with the earn a buck in the early season and the unlimited doe harvest is actually starting to bring the numbers down a little bit.
Yeah, I remember those days back in the mid to late 80s, John. The harvest was through the roof when they liberalized the bag limits. You remember that? That was crazy time,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. Well, I remember back when you could kill one buck in New Jersey with the bow, one buck with the firearm. And I think he had to apply for a doe permit, and not everybody got them every year.
Right, and that's where they were by count. Boy, man, I'm showing my age here, people. That's when they were by county. Before the DMZs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Listeners, August 12th and 13th, United Bow Hunters of New Jersey, big-ass jamboree, two-day event, the Assinpink Wildlife Management Area's Wildlife Conservation Center, exit 11 off 195, Imlaystown there. Shoot for fun. It's open to all. Admission $20 for one day, $30 for both days. It's really a bargain. As John Erndl says, there's going to be vendors there. There's going to be food. Hey, John, what about some tunes? Do you have any music going on?
Oh, absolutely. And Saturday night, we just might have our vice president sing a few songs because he does a lot of country music gigs.
Oh, wow. Who's that? Oh, who's that?
Brian Hopkins.
No kidding. I didn't know he had a set of pipes on him. Good for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, if you want to come out and just hang out Saturday night, we'll get him to sit around the campfire and play some tunes.
Well, listen, not for anything, Erndl, but I'm trimming down. I'm down a couple more ounces. I'm break out some 80s, man, because I got more moves than a night crawler these days. I boogie, baby. I move. Well, John Erndl, thanks for being a guest on Rack and Fin Radio. As always, listen, 42 days to the early opener of 28 DMZs statewide. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. The UBNJ's Jamboree, August 12th and 13th. Perfect time to get it ready. I'll tell you, John, when I got out there, I learned so much, my head explodes. I talk to these guys. It's just amazing what's out there, the knowledge. And they're always willing to share the knowledge. That's what's cool. It's not that.
Absolutely.
It's not that, oh, don't tell them that. Don't tell her that. You know, this is my secret. No, man, it's share and share alike. It's great.
No, it is, and you want to know something. It's a great community to be a part of, and we're always willing to help somebody new in, somebody who's been in it for a while that just is having a little bit of a rut, no pun intended. But, they're out there to help.
John, you take care, man. I hope to see you in a couple of weeks, and we'll see you in the field. Hey, listen, I get out there, man. Let's do some bass fishing. I got some new lures
Absolutely.
To try. I got just sent a bunch of stuff, man. New lures and lines to try. We'll give those bass a kick-ass time.
Sounds good, brother.
Okay, John, we'll see. Oh, by the way, give that UBNJ website, please, and Facebook. Go.
It's UBNJ.org, United Bow Hunters of New Jersey on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, John, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, brother. Be good.
See you then. Thank you.
John Erndl, man, he is tireless. Tireless, that whole crew, that whole UBNJ crew. Okay, a little long on that segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, August 12th and 13th. Rain or shine, going to be a fun time either way. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Get fast, reliable Xfinity Internet. And now you can add a whole new way to watch the entertainment you love. Introducing Now TV, the best value in live TV and streaming, just $20 a month. Get over 40 live channels,
Plus, watch movies, shows, and live sports with Peacock Premium, a $5.99 a month value included at no extra cost. Start watching thousands of hours of content in minutes. So whether you're an action junkie, a sports buff, or a romance fanatic, you can stream all the entertainment you love, all on the network made for streaming. Now through September 21st, get the best value in live TV and streaming, all on the best network. Switch to Xfinity Internet for $25 a month for 12 months, and add Now TV with Peacock Premium included for just $20 a month. Call, click, or visit a store to switch today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Now TV requires Xfinity Internet. Internet equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to Internet service. Actual speeds vary.
Staples has big savings on everything you need for back to school or stocking up the office. Save on signs, banners, and posters expertly printed by Staples Print and Marketing Services. Save on the latest tech and tech total support plans to keep your new or existing PC running right. Plus, save on all your back to school essentials from notebooks to markers. And right now at Staples, you can save even more with $10 off your in-store purchase of $50 or more. Get everything for the office and the classroom for less at Staples. N729, in-store only, exclusions apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. I mean, stay hydrated out there. The heat is on. Hey, next week, 8, 9, 10, is going to be absolutely gorgeous. High in the low 80s. Humidity is going to be gone. But just stay hydrated if you're out there on the water. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. The fishing, I tell you, this south wind, water got a little cold. The fluke may be wearing some mittens, but plenty of opportunities out there. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.